Okay, we're taking a look at a piece at the very end of Parshas Mishpatim. The pasuk in Chaf Dalet, Parak Chaf Dalet, pasuk Yidalef, is a very hard pasuk. It's really, it's a pasuk that doesn't allow any Parshas Pshat. The pasuk says it's at the end of the Torah's description of Kiviyachol, what it looked like at Har Sinai, that they saw that Hashem appeared to them with the mountain, Kalivnas HaSapir, Ruchetzem HaShemayim LaToyar. And then it says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, the El Atzilei B'nei Yisrael Lo Shalach Yadai. To the Atzilei B'nei Yisrael, which most Rishon Rashi says that it means the prestigious people, the great people. I think most Mepharshim agree that Atzilei means a Lashon of Maila. To the great people among B'nei Yisrael, Lo Shalach Yadai, he did not send his hand. And they saw Alikim, and they ate, and they drank. It's a very disjointed pasuk. It says a bunch of things. So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, the expression, he did not send his hand, which sounds like it means to strike them. Right? The implication is that there was something here that was worthy of being punished, of striking them for, and it says that he didn't. So Rashi says that's the implication of Leishalach Yodai, and then we read the rest of the pasuk in that light, that Vayechas Olakim Vayechal Vayishtu, that's what they did wrong. That's a Lashon of Gnai. It means that even while they were having this great vision, but they weren't acting with Derech Eretz, they were like munching on their popcorn while they were beholding this vision of God. So it's a lack of Derech Eretz, and that's why they were worthy of being struck. And the pasuk says, Leishalach Yodai, like Rashi elsewhere elaborates more, that he didn't want to interfere with the Simcha of Matan Torah at this time, so he held off on that punishment until a later date. That's the Rashi. We have it here inside. Leishalach Yodai, Michal Shai, Ru'im, Lashlachas, Lishalach, Behem Yad, that really, there was something worthy of being punished. Vayachas, Leikim, means, Ha'yim, Estaklam, Bay, Belev, Gath, Mechachilu, Shtiak, Achmed, Shan, Chuma. That it means that they were being disrespectful, eating and drinking while they were looking. And then Rashi writes, "Va'unkelus loy tirgim kain." Rashi doesn't elaborate. We're going to see about unkelus later. Rashi already told us that unkelus, meaning according to Rashi, the whole thing is negative. Lo shalach yodai means they did something wrong. They didn't get punished, but they did something wrong. And Re'ezulikimayichavayishtu is what they did wrong. Where unkelus has a different pshat. In the Vayachas Olakim Vayechal Vayishtu, which we'll see later on. Now, since we already have here the Mekoreis Gedolis, take a look in the Ibn Ezra. There's something very fascinating over there also. He does not agree that the pasuk means to be describing something wrong that they did. Leishalach Yodai, he explains differently than Rashi. We're not going to do that, but just, you see, at near the end, they underlined Rabbi Huda Alevi, that's the author of the Kuzari. And the Kuzari has something very interesting over here, that Vayechal Zalekim, but nevertheless Vayechal Vayishtu. The pasuk means to say that although they rose to an extraordinary Madrega, Vayechal Zalekim, they were seeing something here, right, of some kind of a vision of the Rabbanu Shlalam. But don't think that it was like Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, that for 40 days and 40 nights, that he rose to some kind of unearthly madrega that he no longer needed to eat and drink. So the pasuk says that they didn't go that far. They continued eating and drinking. I mean, it doesn't mean that they ate and drank now while they were looking at Hashem, like Rashi was saying that they were being disrespectful. No, it just means that they remained human. They were Yechzu Zalikim, but they remained human. They didn't become like Moshe Rabbeinu. They still had to eat and drink. That's the Kuzari's pshat. Okay, let's take a look, though, in the Ramban now. So in the Ramban, let's start with what he says about Leishalach Yodai, because he disagrees with Rashi. He writes something very interesting. So Rashi had said that it means to imply that they did something wrong, that etzem they were ro'i to be punished. So he says, no. Leishalach Yodai means they weren't punished because they did nothing wrong. What do you mean they did nothing wrong? So the next phrase then says, meaning even though the previous pasuk had described that Vayiras Elokei Yisrael Varagov Kamais Livnas Hasapir. Right? The previous pasuk was describing some kind of a vision that they had of the Rebbeinu Shleilam. Now, in last week's parish, in Parashas Yisrael, there were very strong warnings about nobody crossing their lines, right? Al Yersu El Hahar Lirais, right? That everybody had a boundary, they're not allowed to pass, and there was a strong warning, don't go past that line or else it's going to be bad. So over here, the pasuk is saying that, right, it's going to be bad. I mean, it's more than that. It said in the pasuk that Pen Yifreitz Baham, right, that Hashem is going to have to strike them. If they cross their boundaries, if they go over what they're entitled to, then they're going to be struck. That's what it says in Parashas Yisrael. So over here, it just said in the previous pasuk that they saw, they had some kind of a magnificent vision, but then it says, meaning, but they didn't need to be punished for that because they didn't do anything wrong. Why? So the pasuk continues, so the Ramban gives a little bit of a Kabbalistic interpretation of that in Parashas Yisrael, when it said, don't go too far, don't cross your line, it said, Al Yersu Lalais El Hashem. Hashem, with the Shem Havaya over there. And over here, the pasuk says that with all of the magnificent vision that they had, Vayachas was Elikim, but they were only seeing Elikim, which is a lower level shame. So, in Kabbalistic terms, a lower level kind of a manifestation or revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is not beyond the line, beyond the point of what was permitted to them. So that's the Ramban. Leishalach Yodai, since it said in the last six parashas, El Hashem Pen Yifrat Baam, it said over there that if they go too far, then they'll be stricken down. So Hedia Bekan, the pasuk over here by saying Leishalach Yodai is telling us Shenizeru Bekach, they were careful. Nobody looked past where they were allowed to look. Vele parts bam peretz. Therefore, there was no striking. Because everybody was on the madrega that they were entitled and they were holding by this vision. And the reason is the distinction in Parashas Yisrael where it said what not to be hayreis el, that was Hashem Havaya, and here it says what did they see elikim, and therefore leishalach yadai. So the Ramban, by differentiating between the Shem Havaya and the Shem Elikus, he's explaining the pasuk so differently than Rashi, that leishalach yodai, rather than meaning that they were roi leishalach b'amya, that they were worthy of punishment, it means farkarit. It means to be saying that they did exactly what they were supposed to do, not a little bit more, not a little bit less, and therefore there was no punishment coming to them. Okay, then the Ramban needs a different pshat in vayechol ha'ishtu. Because Rashi's pshat was that was part of the description of what they did wrong. According to the Ramban, they didn't do anything wrong. So, right, why could Vayechav Elikim? They just saw Elikim. So then Vayechav Elikim is really a new paragraph. It then goes on to say two things. Vayechlu and Vayishtu. So the first one is like a halachic detail. We'll just take a short look at it quickly. But the second half of this is a very gishmaki yisayit in the Ramban. So Vayechlu is like the Ramban. It means, the psukim a little bit earlier had said how Moshe Rabbeinu brought karbanos on a mizbeach on Har Sinai. So the pasuk now says vayoichlu, they ate it there at the raglei ha'har, tachas ha'har, at Har Sinai, rather than taking the meat back el hamachne. Why? Because karbanos always have to be eaten within a certain boundary, right? The kachim kachim alafnim mina kloyim and kachim kalim alafnim mina choyma. But that's all when there's a mikdash, when there's a mishkan. Over here, there was no mikdash, there was no mishkan. So what's called toich ha-choyma? So since Har Sinai was in lieu of a makam mikdash, so the har, the tachas har, would be in lieu of toich ha-choyma of the Yerushalayim, Shilai. So he says that's what the pasuk means when it says vayoichlu. It means to say the halacha. That the din of eating kachem kalam toicha choyma was miskayim by eating it tachas ahar. That's the Ramban says the vayoichlu. That's that paragraph of Tam vayoichlu vayishtu. You could take, but he just explains over the vayoichlu. You can take a look at it. But now we'll do together the following paragraph. The Tam vayishtu. The Ramban says that's a whole new vart. Vayoichlu is talking about the karbanos. What's vayishtu? And they drank. They drank is a lashon of mishta, meaning they celebrated. The pasuk, they hear the final word in the parsha of Matan Torah, right? This is Mishpatim, but remember the end of Mishpatim, this is the parsha of the last Mishpatim. The end of Mishpatim, there's a whole, the Torah revisits the events of Matan Torah. So here, the final word in the parsha of Matan Torah is Vayishtu, they made a celebration. Zok the Ramban, because Kabbalah Satayra was a cause for celebration. And so there was a party, a mishteh. That's Vayishtu. Just like we find in Parshas Kisavai, in Devarim, over there it's more mafurish, that at the end of the Bris and Arvis Mayav, where the Torah was repeated, so then the Pasuk says that they brought Shlomim, and they ate, and there's Lashon of Simcha over there, that Vesamachta, it says over there that there was a mitzvah of to be Mesameach. What was the Simcha for over there? Zechariah Ramban was the Simcha of Kabbalah Satayra. So over here also, the Vayishtu means that there was a Simcha, there was a party to celebrate Kabbalah Satayra. And then the Ramban makes a Tzushtel. And he says that this is the same inyan that we have by a Siyum. When somebody finishes a Masechta, he doesn't quite say Masechta. Let's take a look at what he writes inside, and then we'll elaborate a bit. V'tam Vayishtu, she'asu Simcha v'yamtu. They made a party, they made a celebration. Ki kein chayva. A person has a chiyuv that when there's a Kabbalah Satayra, he should rejoice, he should celebrate. That's the pasuk in Kisavai. Then when they finished writing over the Torah on the Avonim, there was a celebration. So the same thing happened over here. That's the Vayishtu. And then he says, "V'ksiv b'shloimoi ha'chachma v'madin nasun loch v'yav v'yav v'yishlam v'yas mishal chalavadav." There's a pasuk, he puts together pasuk in Devar Yom and pasuk in Malachim, but it's telling one story that Shlomo HaMelech was given a choice. You could, right, you could ask Hashem for whatever you want, and Shlomo HaMelech said that I want Hashem to give me wisdom surpassing that of any other human being, and the wisdom was given to him. And then it says Vayas Mishta L'Chal Avadav, that he made a celebration. On that pasuk, the Medrash says V'am Rav Elazar Mikan Sha'isin Mishta L'Gamra Shel Torah. That this is the makar that we make a mishta, a party at a siyum, gamra shel Torah. When you complete something, this medrash is brought down when the poskim talk about simchas Torah, that we celebrate on the last day of Sukkot because we complete the Torah. Oisin mishta legamra shel Torah, and it's also brought down when the poskim talk about the inyan of a siyum mesechta. That this medrash is really the main makar in Chazal to the inyan of a siyum mesechta, of Eisen Mishnah, siyum mesechta. There's also a gemara. There's a gemara in Shabbos, which the Ramban doesn't quote over here. But there's another Ramban. Ramban in his drush on Keheles. We have four drushes that are preserved that the Ramban delivered. And one of them is a drush on Keheles that was delivered once on the Yontif of Shavuos. And over there he says this same vart. Bechlal, a lot of things that are written in the Ramban's Pirush Shel HaTorah also appear elsewhere in his Ksavim. So there he has more or less the same paragraph. He brings down this pasuk of where it says Vayishtu, and he brings down the pasuk in Kisavai, and he shtels su to the Medrash by Shlomo HaMelech that it's all an inyan of Eisen Mishnah L'Gamra Shel HaTorah, and then he brings down the well-known Gemara Masechta Shabbos. I think Masechta Shabbos of Kufir Ches, maybe, yeah, is that where it is? Where it says, Abaya says that every time that one of the Talmidim would finish a Masechta, Avidniyam Tevel Rabban, and I will make a Suda for the whole yeshiva. So there the Gemara is recording Lahedya, this minhag of making, over there, it's written as a story. It's like an Hagatayva that Abaya personally was knowing. The Medrash that he brings, that the Rambam brings down, says a little bit more like a practice. I don't know if we could say that it's given as a halacha, but as a practice that Chazal are telling us to do. So this medrash in Shir Shirim Rabbah and this Gemara in Shabbos are the two makayres to the idea of making a siyum on a masechta, and Zekhtar Ramban, and that's what's going on here, and in Kisavai, and in Malachim. And the Rabban says that one more place also. So you see over there, okay, that has nothing to do with Gamar Shel Torah, but over there you see a celebration for an accomplishment in Ruach Nistika in Yanim. Afkan v'yem chasunas ha-Torah kein asu. Over here also, according to this Girsa, at least in the Ramban, he's referring to Matan Torah as a chasana, based, of course, on that the Mishnah in Tanis, where it says v'yem chasunas v'yem simchas libay v'yem chasunas is Matan Torah v'yem simchas libay is v'yem beis hamikdash, I think. So he's borrowing from there that Matan Torah was considered a chasana. A chasana, you celebrate. So therefore by Matan Torah also, you needed to celebrate. But there's something very, very striking about the Ramban. He's calling it a simcha of Kabbalah Satera, but he shtels to the Medrash that about Eisen Sudele Gamra Shel Torah. And again, he doesn't bring it down over here, but in the other place that he says this Shtikl Torah, he brings down the Gemara in Shabbos. Now, those two are both talking about completions, completing something. All right, and that's how we're familiar with the practice. We make a Suda when we finish a Masechta. It's a Siyam. Over here, what exactly was what were they finishing? They got, right, it was Kabbalah Zatera. They were zeicha to have the Torah given to them, but they didn't learn it yet. But over here, they were making a simcha for Kabbalah Satayra. And okay, the one in Devarim, maybe okay, they wrote it. So you know, maybe over there it fits better. It's a Gamar Shel Torah. But what about the one that Chazal themselves are going on? The Medrash in Shir Hashirim is the most striking of all. Because over there, you find Chazal using the Lashon, Mikan Shaisim Sudi Legamra Shel Torah. Mikan from where? From Shlomo HaMelech, who made a Suda because he was given wisdom. He didn't learn anything. He was given the ability to learn, and he made a Suda. Okay, fine. I mean, sorry, I have no problem. You want to say that there's an need to make a Suda because you're given the ability to learn Torah? Gevaldik. But Chazal say Mikan Shaisim Sudi Legamra Shel Torah. Well, what does that have to do with the Gamar Shel Torah? So, that's the Pella here, both in the Medrash and in the Ramban, in both places. You know, over here, Sushtal to Kabbalah Satayra seems to have the same Ha'ara. So, I got recently heard this, a drush of somebody talking about this without bringing down the Ramban, and now I saw it written down also as somebody saying Pshat in the Ramban. With the idea, as various people explain, what the idea seems to be is that you see from here an important yesod about a siyum. A siyum, why are we celebrating? What is the celebration by a siyum? So we're accustomed to thinking, because I finished something. I finished a Masechta. So, you know, let's say for Mitzvah, we should all, you know, finish Masechta Shabbos. If we finish Masechta Shabbos, we'll make a Siyum for Shabbos. So, Hadron Lach Masechta Shabbos. There's a Medrash, however, you could explain differently. There's a Medrash which is brought down, I don't know where the Medrash is, but Chaim V'Lajon brings it down, I think in the Ruach Hayim, that gives some kind of a mashal. I apologize, I don't remember exactly how the mashal goes, but something to the effect, it's a mashal of somebody that the king allows him to visit his palace, and he comes in and he sees more doors, and
a bacher gave it. He also did it, give them. We have the mukhar now.
Yeah.
Of the story where there were two people with you can go through the palace of the king.
Yeah.
And one of them goes through superficially, and then one of them has more time to go through. Maybe it's not the same thing.
Maybe it is. The way the Medrash, I think, is brought down is that he goes in, you know, to enjoy the splendor of the palace. He's enjoying the splendor, but then he sees more doors. So he says, can I go there? And the king says, sure. And then he sees even more greater splendor. And then he asks the king, but then he sees more doors. And he's asking, can I go there? And this goes on a few times. And then at the end, it's something like he thanks the king for bringing him into the outer chamber, because if he hadn't seen the outer chamber, he never would have come to the inner chambers. So kach, the Medrash Firzois, that kach, when a person, each time that a person learns Torah, he's finding the doors to the inner chambers. What it means to say is that. Torah, there's endless levels of amkus in Torah, or even to state it more simply, there's certainly multiple levels or endless levels even of skill in learning Torah. I mean, it's the amkus of Torah also, but even kipshutai. You could have two people that sit down and learn a mesechta. And they both learn a piece of Gemara, but the one that is a much more experienced lamdan, he's going to get much, much more out of that Gemara than the one who's just a beginner. So each time that you learn some Torah, besides for that being the accomplishment that now you have that piece of Torah, it also is the tools that you bring to the next piece of Torah that you're going to learn. Because each time that you learn, you become more experienced, you become more like that really experienced lamdan who's able to learn on a very high level. How do you get there? By learning. So each time that you, each time that you conquer any portion of Torah, so you also are acquiring keys to go through the inner doors. So the next time you look at a piece of Gemara, the next time you try to learn Torah, you'll be experiencing a deeper level of it. So what emerges from this Ramban is that the celebration by Yassim, if a person finishes Maseches Shabbos, so what he's celebrating is not that now he knows Shabbos. That's true also. Yeah, that's a reason to celebrate. But what's he going to learn after Shabbos? Let's say after Shabbos, let's say next year we're learning Gittin, right? So when he learns Gittin, it's not going to be the same Gittin that it would have been if he hadn't learned Shabbos. Learning through Shabbos prepares him to learn Gittin on a whole different level because he's a much bigger Talmud Chacham now, and a big Talmud Chacham that comes and learns Maseches Gittin understands it much more deeply than a beginner. And when you make a Siyum on Maseches Shabbos, you're not a beginner anymore. So now you bring those skills that you gained and those tools that you gained into your learning of the next Masechta. So you celebrate when you finish a Masechta because it made you more of a Bar Hachi, more capable of approaching the next Limud. So you're really celebrating the Kabbalah Satayra Shabbai, that which you're given the opportunity to learn. When you finish a Masechta, that gives you the opportunity to learn what you otherwise couldn't have, because the next time that you learn a Masechta, you'll be learning on a deeper level than you otherwise would have. So that's why, that's the Medrash that says that the Makar for making a Siyum is from Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech, what was he celebrating? That he's now given the Kalim to learn Torah. So when you make a Siyum, Mikan Shalisen Suda Legomra Shal Torah, because each time that you finish Torah, now you're ready to start it again on a much deeper level. The going through it the first time is the Kalim to go through it the second time. And therefore, so we understand why that's a makar for the Indian making a seam, and it gives us a whole different perspective on a seam. It means that a seam is not just a celebration on the accomplishment, but on the hechatimsa that it gives us to go weiter.
The hadron is very fitting.
Yeah.
And we're doing it for the sake of the...
Of doing it again.
Of doing it.
Yes. Again. Right, very good. Okay. All right, that's how the Ramban al Torah explains. So Nachamal, the Vayechas Elokim Vayechav Vayishtu, according to Rashi, was describing some kind of a Gnai. According to the Ramban, not at all. It's telling us that they celebrated and they were supposed to celebrate. It was an appropriate celebration. Now, there's another pshat. Rashi already told us, Unkelus Leitirgim Kain. If you take a look in the Targum Unkelus, well, the Rabbi Rabbi Yisrael, Lava Nizka, that's the first half of the Pasuk. And then, V'chazo Yasi Karad Hashem, That's the Taitcha Vayechus Usalikim. They saw the covered of Hashem. And now he's up to the words Vayechul Vayishtu. And the whole next two lines is the Targum of Vayechul Vayishtu. And they rejoiced with their karban at their karbanis that had been accepted with ratzain, kiilu achlin v'shasan, as if they were eating and drinking. That's the words of the Onkelos. Now there's an elaboration on this, which you have on the side of the page here. It says on the top, Sefer HaEmunah v'Habitachon l'Haramban. So before we learn this, just a bit of introduction and a disclaimer. This is really supposed to be a Ramban shir, so I can include this because it says Laha Ramban, but the problem is it's probably not true. There's a Sefer Munu Bitachain, which, I shouldn't say probably not true, but it has long been attributed to the Ramban. It's, if you buy, you know, the two-volume set, Kitzvei HaRamban, so one of the things that's included in there is the Sefer Amunu Bitachain. But if you read the Mavai over there, so he writes that it's really a big mystery to him whether it is a Ramban or it's not a Ramban. On the one hand, there's good Makaris to say that it is. He quotes from a Sefer Ar HaGon, is written by a Talmud of the Rashba, who in one place refers to that Sefer and he refers to it as being from the Ramban. The Rashba is the Talmud of the Ramban. The Aragon is the Talmud of the Rashba, is the Talmud of the Ramban. You'd think that he would know. And in one place, he says also the Rakanti refers to it as Ramban. So, okay, so that this is not, you know, like a 500 years later, somebody invented the Ramban, wrote it. This is really, you know, very old sources, almost contemporaneous to the writing of the Sefer, that they were referring to it as the Ramban Sefer. On the other hand, he says that through many, many pieces of this Sefer are quoted in the Rakanti and in the Rabbeinu Bachya, two people who routinely quote Rambans and always refer to him. They call him Ramban or they call him Rabbeinu Agadol. You know, they're both very, very into the Ramban. They're almost, I mean, they do more than just write Pirushim on the Ramban, but they're almost Pirushim on the Ramban. And they both quote extensively from this Sefer and don't say, that, you know, they refer to the Sefer, but they don't say that it's the Ramban. The Rakanti that I refer to was somewhere in a different Sefer, but in the Sefer, or in his Pirush, he quotes extensively from this Emunu Bitachon, and he never calls it the Ramban. So in the Mavai, Rav Shevel says that it's a big mystery, you know, there's strong evidence on both sides. He's inclined to think that it perhaps was one of the Talmidim of the Ramban, and it was based on teachings from the Ramban. So that's why sometimes people do refer to it as the Ramban, but it's not actually the Ramban's writing. It was maybe, you know, a Talmud of his who received a lot of his Torah from the Ramban. I once asked my Rebbe, Rav Shalom Spitz, who's very into Rishonim, and particularly obscure Rishonim and Svarim of Rishonim, and I once asked him what he thought about it, and he said, oh, it's clear that when we're talking is not from the Ramban, because he said, just read it, and you can see from 100 places that it's not the Ramban. Okay? It's a Kabbalah Sefer. I haven't read it, and I'm not about to. It's really, for the most part, it's mostly Kabbalistic things. This paragraph also is going to be kind of, you know, we're not necessarily going to get exactly what it means. But be that as it may, it's a Sefer that. But Rav Shalom said that it's clear though that it's from the same Beis Medrash. Meaning he, I think, didn't think it was a Talmud of the Ramban. The Ramban was learned in a yeshiva. The Ramban had a Maseira, of course, in Nigla, right, which he had from his Rebbeim, who were Talmidim of the Baalei HaTosis, but he also had a Maseira in Nistar. And in Nistar, right, in the hidden parts of the Torah, there was a yeshiva in Spain that was headed by two brothers named Reb Ezra and Reb Azriel, who were Mekubalim. They were Talmidim of Reb Yitzchak Sagi Nahar, who I think we mentioned a couple months ago. What?
In Shira, I believe.
Yeah, Parshas Vayeshev, I think. We talked a little bit about Rabbi Yitzchak Sagi Nahar. So he had these two Talmidim, and they were teaching Teres HaNistar, and the Ramban was in their yeshiva. And what Rabbi Shalom said is that he thinks that it was written by somebody in that yeshiva. We don't know the names of all the people from that yeshiva. Maybe it's somebody that we know, maybe it's somebody that we don't, but it was somebody else from the same yeshiva. So, okay, it's at least, it's certainly within the orbit of the Ramban, whether it's a Talmud or it's a colleague. He has something fascinating on this pasuk, and especially the end of the piece. He throws in a treat. There's a very geshmaka yidia that comes at the end of this paragraph. The beginning of the paragraph, let's skip the first couple of lines. On the second line, it says, "Hamaisa hatoiv." He refers to the nefesh. A person's nefesh, who he's talking about. A person's nefesh is nenes usmecha boy. A person's nefesh gets hano and simcha from doing a maisa toiv. When you do a good deed, so not your guf, but your nefesh gets hano from that. Kishe yodesh maaseh mekubal lefnei boyra. The knowledge that what you did something that made your creator pleased, gives the nefesh a hana and a simcha. Ki'ilu echeles v'sheitza. And that simcha is similar to the experience of eating and drinking for the guf. It's the nefesh's equivalent. He'll elaborate on that still a little bit more. And he says, and this is the pshat on the Targum Onkelos on our pasuk. All right, that's what we just read in the Targum Onkelos. So the vayechav vayishtu means that they had an experience that's comparable to achila and shtia because they did a good thing. They knew they had the hana of knowing that Hashem was pleased with what they did. And that hanah to the nefesh is like achila and shtia to the guf.
What was the maaseh tov?
So it says over here that it's referring to the karbanos that were brought at Har Sinai. Uve psikta vayachzaz alikim vayachlo vayeshtu shazanu einayim mizif hashchina, that their eyes indulged in the shine of the Shechina, zanu einayhem, I don't know if that's quite the right word, where their eyes got mezainis, their eyes were satiated, okay, from the shine of the Shechina. And it is in the Psikta, we don't have this in the Psikta, but this sefer is quoting from a Psikta, Rabbi Yechanan Amar, achila v'adoyis, a real achila, shenemar b'or p'nei melachayim, pasuk in Mishlei, life in the light of the face of the king. And then she adds two words, Dover Lahefsid, which I believe are supposed to be read Bitmiya, Dover Lahefsid. Now, what does the Medrash mean? There's three things here. There's the Tanakama that says that Vayechus Alikim, Vayechus Vayishtu means they saw Alikim, and that was their nutrition. The sight of Alikim was their eating. Rabbi Yochanan sounds to me like he's coming to say, not like that. No, achila v'adoyis means they really ate. But then it's confusing, because then he quotes this pasuk in Mishlei that sounds like it means something very spiritual. And then he adds the words, Dever Lahafsid. So what's the pshat in this this psikta? So, Kvar Kosav HaChacham Rav Ezra Zalmashi Yesh Boi Dai. This is the Rav Ezra we were talking about before. The Rav Ezra who was a Rebbe of the Ramban, and a Rebbe of whoever's the author of the Amunu B'tachain. And he says a pshat, you know, there are footnotes there where you can see that the Rakanti brings down what Rabbi Ezra says, Ayin Sham, Afanu Noimar. Well, we're going to say a pshat in this psikta. Ki adever yudua, she'en kavanos ha'achila v'adoyis lahav sedever ha'nechal ala ho'yisif lo'eichel o'y tenugim v'chayim. This is a fascinating thing. When you eat a piece of bread, so two things happen. One thing happens to the bread, and one thing happens to you. The bread gets consumed, and you receive nutrients. Which one is the ikur of achila? What's achila all about? They're both true. They're both factually true. They're both accurate descriptions of achila. But if you're thinking about it, not objectively, but thinking about the values, why does achila happen? What's the purpose of achila? It's not for what happens to the bread, but it's for what happens to the guf. So al kein amar achila v'adoyis. That's why Rabbi Yochanan came and said, "Achila v'adoyis." meaning he didn't mean to argue and say no, not ziv hashchina. Right? The Tanakh says she's done my name is ziv hashchina. Rabbi Yochanan is not coming to argue and say no, not ziv hashchina. Rather, achila adoy is they ate a bagel. He meant because then what does he mean? Why is he bringing the pasuk about arpanei melachayim? He means achila adoy, meaning yeah, like you said. Ziv hashchina, that's achila v'adoyis. That's real achila. Like chayil gemayim is done. Name is ziv hashchina. It doesn't mean to be arguing on the Tanakhama. Aval ha'isav pirush al pirusha. It means to be elaborating. Loimer shan nefesh misaneges usmecha b'maaseh mukubal mufnei abayrei kainos aguf v'achila. V'ahi achila v'adoyis. V'zehu etaynu kakos avos asanag al Hashem. He says that it's no mashal. Wait, meaning you're saying that it says in the pasuk that they saw God, and that was their achila, right? They received nezainos from that. And Rabbi Yechon means to be saying it's not a mere mashal. That's what achila is. Achila is not about something being consumed. Achila is about the oichel, the one that ate, getting something from the food. Well, the nefesh gets something from the experience of ayechus alikim, of seeing or coming close to or having some kind of a dveikus or shaykhus with the alikim. The nefesh gets something from that, just like the guf gets something from eating a bagel. It gets nutrition, it gets hana. So too the nefesh gets a kiyum, gets a hana from the experience of the shaykhus to Hashem that comes from mitzvahs. Okay. So the Amun Bitachan, whoever it is learning Pshan in the Pasuk that Vayechas Elikim Vayechal Vayishtu means Vayechas Elikim, meaning, like I said in the previous Pasuk, that they had this vision, and that vision was their Achila. Elsewhere, remember, not the Ramban, but maybe one of those people I mentioned before, Benu Bachya, maybe says that's the pshat in Moshe Rabbeinu that food is lechem lo yachal mayim leishasa. What it means lechem dafka lo yachal umayim dafka leishasa. I thought he was oichav v'shoisa. A person can't go 40 days and nights without eating and drinking, but he was in Shemayim. So he there was a vayechus alikim. That was his achila. That was his ashtia. Now, like the pasuk says over here, that vayechus alikim, that could be an achila or ashtia. But of course, for us, it can't be our, you know, it's the achila and ashtia for the nefesh. But what? Yeah, we also need a bagel or something for the guf. But Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went up, all he needed was the achila for the nefesh. Maybe it is the Ramban without stelling suit to here, but the Ramban in Bishalach by the Mun, I think, might say that in kind of a climate. Okay, but so that's the Bishalach that we're seeing over here in the Pasuk, and now there's a very nice treat at the end. Zok the Ramban at the end that this is the pshat in Birkas HaMitzvahis. That which Chazal say that before a person does a mitzvah, he has to make a bracha. Now, we also know that before we eat food, we have to make a bracha. So we're, of course, accustomed to thinking of these as two totally separate things. The Rambam, in the beginning of the bracha, says, Shleisha minim brachas, right? There are three different types of brachas. There's berachas hanen, berachas hamitzvahs, and berachas haidah. Right? That's the Rambam, separating them out into different categories. Sefer Munu B'Tachon is saying, maybe not. Maybe a berachas hamitzvah is also a berachas hanen. There are two parts of you. There's the guf and there's the nefesh. When you do, when you eat a bagel, that's a hana for the guf. When you do a mitzvah, and that right, and there's a knowledge that you are maisim are marutza by your creator, that's a hana for the nefesh. No less a hana than eating food. Yeah, a hana needs a bracha. And since every mitzvah brings the hana to the nefesh, so that's why it's mechayev a bracha. So the birchas mitzvahs are also a birchas hananin. That's what this author, the Amun B'Tachin, suggests over here. I mean, he says, "Kamaisha adam chayev levarich al mitzvahs," and then he goes on to say that just like different kinds of achilas have different kinds of requirements of bracha, so too mitzvahs, different mitzvahs have different kinds of requirements for brachas. But the idea that he means, the basic idea that he means to be saying is that birchas mitzvahs are also a birchas ananin, based on this pasuk. Now, there's also, so on the bottom of the page, let's do this very quickly. If it's okay, if we can go another couple of minutes. The bottom of the page, there's an excerpt from Ravon Hayarchi, who's the author of the Sefer HaMani. This is a very obscure source, but he's a well-known Rishon. The Sefer HaMani is a Sefer that's quoted, not often, but occasionally in the Beis Yosef. It's a Chashuva Rishon from the Chachmei Luniel. That's why it's called Hayarchi, Luniel, right? Like the word lunar, right? Which means having to do with the moon. So Luniel is a city in Provencia. In French, it means moon. So he's called the Ravon Hayarchi, Yareach being the moon. So he wrote the Sefer Manik. He also wrote a Sefer, a Pirush on Maseches Kala. In the beginning of Maseches Kala, it says, Kala b'lay bracha asur l'bala kenida. So over there, he's talking about the inyan of the bracha by Erisin and Nesuin. And then, v'seich ha-dvarim, he says the following. V'oimer ani l'fi anius dati umi u'tzichli, sh'lakach tiknu chazal bracha ochal ha-mitzvah v'oivel ha-siyasan, l'fi sh'asal l'hanif anayim azeh b'lay bracha. Ukishem sh'asal l'hanif is b'machal u'mishtev anayis ha-oilim b'lay bracha, k'daminim b'akar z'marachin, kach asal l'asiz kiyum shum mitzvah sh'b'oilim b'lay bracha, sh'ach sh'ish l'ischar ha-mitzvah reinenim anayim azeh b'oilim ha-ba. So it's almost, it's very, very similar to the Amunah B'Tachayin, but it's with a Knetch different. The Amunah B'Tachayin, which, you know, it was more of a Kabbalistic idea, it was saying how there's a Guf and there's a Nefesh, and so you have Hanois. He wasn't talking about Olam Haba. He was talking about, in Olam Hazeh, you have a Nefesh which is active even in Olam Hazeh. It's part of who you are. And so when you eat food, your guf is getting hana. When you do a mitzvah, your nefesh is getting hana. He means now, b'shas ma'isa. The Ravon Hayarchi doesn't say quite like that, but he's like the Amunah B'Tachayin. The Ravon Hayarchi is saying that birchas mitzvahs are really birchas hananim. It's not two different categories, two different minim. They're all birchas hananim because there's a hana in doing a mitzvah also. But the way he says it is because if you're going to put on tefillin, so you're going to be rewarded for it. You're going to get schar and olam haba, and that schar is going to be gevaldik. It's a hana. How can you get hana without making a bracha? What are you going to do? Make a bracha there? It's too late. You can't make brachas up there. And besides, it's coming because of what you did in the. Because even though the Gemara says asla hana min ha'olam hazeh b'loy bracha, so the hana, the schar, yeah, it's an olam haba. But since you're getting that schar for something that you did in olam hazeh, so that's also machayev a bracha. You're using Olam Hazeh to get a Hana, even though true, the Hana will come in Olam Haba, but still, you're using Olam Hazeh to get a Hana, that's Mechayev a Bracha. So when are you going to make the Bracha? You can't make the Bracha when you get to Olam Haba, so you have to make the Bracha before you do a Mitzvah. So it's a little bit, he fears the dice a little bit differently than the Sefer Amunah B'Tachayin, but it's the same basic Chiddush, this very novel idea that you could bring together the categories of Birchas HaMitzvah and Birchas HaNenin and say that they're all one category. The Birchas HaNenin. And a mitzvah also has a Hana. And then in the corner of the page is just another Geshmak HaMara Makam, a more conventional approach to Birchas HaMitzvahs that Avad Anon, he doesn't make it at all related to Birchas HaNenin, but there's an interesting Ritva who says that the reason why we make a bracha before a mitzvah is because you need to prepare, you need to do an avodas hanefesh. There's kadesh tchil bracha v'yigal v'yidiyah shu oisa oisa v'nei mitzvah Hashem yisparach v'oid ki abrachas m'avodas hanefesh v'roi lahaktim avodas hanefesh l'avodas haguf. He says two things, but both of them, the idea is that it's a preparation for doing the mitzvah. The first pshat that he says is that you need to raise yourself spiritually to the madrega of doing the mitzvah and dedicate the mitzvah as being lishma, and that's done through the bracha. And the second pshat that he says is that since the mitzvah is supposed to have a conscious mental part also, it's not supposed to be done committed to Nashim Lumada, so that mental part is the bracha, and that's why it's Eivel L'Siyas, and the bracha has to come before the mitzvah. Of course, Of course, if you do the mitzvah, commits to the Nashim Milamada, and then the bracha is also commits to the Nashim Milamada, so of course, you know, then you're defeating the purpose. But I, hopefully, ideally, we're supposed to give thought. You know, we, the hope of Chazal was that you wouldn't be saying words without thinking about what you're saying, and so that's supposed to be the mental part of the mitzvah. That's a, you know, a more conventional approach in the sense that it's something miyucha to mitzvahs. But again, we have these other makaris really based on this pasuk in our parsha that suggests that the Birchas HaMitzvahs is really related to Birchas HaNeinim.